We're going to close up at Proverbs 18 today, and we're going to be in verses 14 to 24. Hello, everybody. Vamos a estar terminando Proverbios 18, capítulo 18, y vamos a estar, ¿verdad?, pidiéndole al Señor que nos dé sabiduría como padres y a nuestros hijos y hijas cómo aplicar esta palabra también en sus vidas. So as we learn more about Proverbs, one of the things he's going to speak to us about, as Solomon was instructing his children, the powerful effects of our speech. And that's what I titled today's sermon, The Powerful Effects of Our Speech. Salomón está instruyendo a sus hijos, ¿verdad? Y les da palabras donde les dice, cuiden sus palabras. Y le llamé al sermón los efectos poderosos de nuestras palabras, ¿verdad? Porque son muy importantes. Con ellas podemos levantar vida y también podemos traer muerte. Remember that with our words we can bring life behind them or we can bring death and we can bring sadness. And this is what the word is trying to teach us, to guard our hearts as we speak. And so we'll see the powerful effects of our speech. Vamos a mirar los efectos poderosos de nuestras palabras. So let's go to verses 14 and 19 and begin today's study. Vamos a los versículos 14 y 19 de Proverbios 18, of Proverbs 18. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes in and examines him. The cast lot puts an end to strife and decides between the mighty ones. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. El espíritu del hombre puede soportar su enfermedad, pero el espíritu quebrantado, ¿quién lo puede sobrellevar? El corazón del prudente adquiere conocimiento y el oído del sabio busca el conocimiento. La dávida del hombre le abre camino y lo lleva ante la presencia de los grandes. Justo parece el primero que defiende su causa hasta que el otro viene y lo examina. La suerte pone fin a las contiendas y decide entre los poderosos. Y el hermano ofendido es más difícil de ganar que una ciudad fortificada. Y las contiendas son como cerrojos de fortaleza. So my first point today in the message is that speech can bring about contentious disputes. Okay, el primer punto que les quiero dar es que las palabras pueden generar disputas problemáticas, ¿verdad? Entonces, la primera cosa es que cuando un espíritu se quebranta, es algo muy duro, porque te puedes quebrar un hueso, ¿verdad? Por ejemplo, el brazo o los huesos en el brazo. Y eso se va a componer, se va a sanar. Pero cuando te quebran el corazón y el espíritu, es algo muy difícil. So what Solomon is saying here, look, be careful with your speech because there's crushing weight that comes with a broken spirit. You can break your arm, you can break bones in your leg, right? But the thing is, when you use words that crush a person's spirit, that lasts forever in a life, and it brings them down, and it creates a lot of hurt in a person's life. See, it says, the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but for a broken spirit, who can bear it? And this is what Solomon is saying in the word. There's a contrast between a spirit that holds up and also a spirit that can weigh you down, right? When you're sad and lonely and heavy laden. Hay tiempos que el espíritu está arriba, animado, y luego hay otros cuando está pesado, y estás triste, estás cargado, y está muy difícil, ¿verdad?, cuando estás pasando por estos tiempos. One of the things that I want you to know is that you can be healed easier from your bones than you can be healed from a broken spirit. Look at in the scriptures, especially in the book of Psalms, and look at when people would go through turmoil. And in the book of Psalms, people would be heartbroken and crying like David. And he would know that he would be broken of spirit, and it was something that really brought him down. Now, of course, you would see the opposite on people, right, who were going through injuries and sustaining injuries. They're not as downcast as when your spirit is broken. And so what he's saying here, that applies in all our life. There's times we have problems that are external. And we have those problems, we can deal with those things. But man, when it's crushed inside, when a friend hurts you or betrays you, when something goes very heavy, it's very difficult. And you get saddened, you get brokenhearted. And this is what he's saying. Look, be careful. Because one of the things is that will happen, if you don't take your burdens to the Lord, this can hurt you and get you more separate from God, get you full of bitterness and anger or hurt and pain because of the rejection you're going through, and it is very difficult. See, the spirit is very vital to the body. El espíritu está muy vital para el cuerpo. Y una de las cosas que va a pasar cuando te lastiman de espíritu es algo que le tienes que llevar al Señor para poder sobrevencer ese problema. ¿Cuántas veces no has estado triste, verdad? Y más de todo cuando la familia también te causa dolor, ¿verdad? Que no lo esperabas. Esas son cosas de agonía que son más difíciles que cuando te quebras un hueso o algo que pasas por trauma, lo que sea. Es más duro cuando el espíritu está quebrantado para levantarlo otra vez. So remember, the spirit, when it's crushed, is very hard to bring back up. This is where your time with God will make a difference on how you return back to the Lord. And this is how you give him that burden before, right, that you realize, I cannot handle this on my own. It has to be the Lord that brings my spirit. And that's why David would always sing, right, Lord, bring up my spirit. Deliver me from the miry clay. Get me out of the problems that I'm in, because only you can do that. And that's what happens in life. When you're going through these things, only the Lord can lift up your spirit. And that's why you need to know the word so you can go to the proper verses that will lift you up. Tienes que ir a los versículos, acuérdense, donde entiendes lo que está pasando. ¿Cómo se imaginan que se sentía Cristo en la cruz? No le quebraron ninguno de sus huesos, ¿verdad? Pero ¿cómo estaba su espíritu? Quebrantado porque se tuvo que separar del Padre. Can you imagine Jesus at the cross and what he went through? His bones were not broken, but his spirit was, because he had to be separated from his Father. See, Jesus knows what we go through. And Jesus has a cure through Scripture on lifting up our broken spirits. El Señor tiene, ¿verdad? Y pasó por todo lo que pasamos nosotros, pero una de las cosas nos dejó la palabra para levantarnos otra vez. Pero Jesús estaba triste cuando tuvo que cargar con todos los pecados del mundo. See, Jesus was very heavy laden when he had to carry the sins of the world upon him. Let's go to John chapter 19, verses 34 to 37. Vamos a San Juan 19, versículos 34 al 37. San Juan 19, 34, 37. John 19, verses 34 to 37. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Pero uno de los soldados que traspasó el costado con una lanza, y al momento salió sangre y agua. Y el que lo ha visto ha dado testimonio, y su testimonio es verdadero. Y él sabe que dice la verdad, para que vosotros también creáis. Porque esto sucedió para que se cumpliera la escritura. No será quebrantado hueso suyo. Y también otra escritura que dice, mirarán al que lo traspasaron. Una de las cosas que miramos, ¿verdad? La sangre y agua que salió de su lado indicaba que su corazón estaba quebrantado. When you see the water flowing from his side, this is an indication that his heart was broken. And it's immense, right? Isaiah tells us that he was also bruised for our iniquities. ¿Verdad? Isaías, vamos a 53:5, dice que fue también golpeado por nuestras iniquidades. ¿Verdad? Y una de las cosas que también miramos, mire lo que dice. But he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Mas él fue herido por nuestras transgresiones, molido por nuestras iniquidades. El castigo por nuestra paz cayó sobre él, y por sus heridas hemos sido sanados. Acuérdense, una herida pasa abajo de la piel. A bruise happens underneath the skin. In other words, Jesus was bruised for our sin and struggles deep within us. One of the things that we have to learn about the Lord, he suffered, had no broken bone. I can guarantee you, his heart was broken because he had to be separated from his father. Estaba separado por su padre, ¿verdad? Y por eso se le quebrantó el corazón. Pero él tomó todos los golpes por nosotros. Look at verse 15. Priority of seeking knowledge is what verse 16 is saying. La prioridad por buscar el conocimiento. Miren el versículo 15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. El corazón del prudente adquiere conocimiento, y el oído del sabio busca el conocimiento. Okay, biblical prudence is defined like this. The ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. La prudencia bíblica se define así, la habilidad de gobernar y disciplinar uno mismo por el uso de razonamiento. Okay, so here the ear seeks knowledge, notice that, so that it can be received and internalized for good effect. In other words, to be applied. Mire cómo dice aquí, ¿verdad? El oído busca el conocimiento para que se reciba, pero después se internaliza para poder aplicar la palabra de Dios. Qué bonito es cuando podemos escuchar lo que dice la palabra, lo aplicamos en nosotros, ¿verdad? Cuando lo oímos, la escuchamos y la aplicamos internalmente. See, it's wonderful to come and seek knowledge of the word. Once you hear it, though, it's got to penetrate inside in order to create a change. And if you do not internalize the word, one of the things that you will find out very quickly, it will do you no good. You can know a lot of the Bible, but if you don't apply the Bible in your life, guess what? It's just going to be words. It's not until you internalize the word in your heart. Remember, that's your warehouse. That's the storehouse where you keep the word of God. That is what makes your life different and changed. Cuando tú escuchas con los oídos la palabra, acuérdense, no nomás es escucharla, dejarla penetrar al corazón. Ahí es donde comienzan a internalizar la palabra y los que son prudentes, ¿verdad? Saben que necesitan más. There's a time in your Christian walk, guys, where you think you've got it together scripturally and you cannot settle to just say, I've arrived. You have to keep seeking knowledge and you have to create that environment in your heart to always want to learn more about God's word, because there's people that say, I already know enough. I know about salvation. I know I've been forgiven. And so I'm just going to put it on cruise control. No, when you study the word, you have to internalize it. And when you seek for knowledge, you never get an appetite full that you have enough knowledge. In other words, you keep going and you keep digging and you keep finding new truths in the scriptures so that you can change your life from the inside out. ¿Verdad? Una de las cosas más importantes, internalizar la palabra. Porque cuando la haces interna, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que vas a aprender, vas a tener más hambre para más. Y entre más quieres, más usas, nunca te quedas satisfecho. Hay mucha gente que nomás se queda muy a gusto y ya no quiere aprender más de la palabra. Y se les olvida que todo el tiempo es un proceso de crecimiento. Tenemos que buscar ese conocimiento. We have to have a hunger for that knowledge. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Vamos a 1 Tesalonicenses 5, 21. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Antes bien, examinando todo cuidadosamente, retener lo bueno. Always examine the word deeply. Always have hunger for more knowledge. But do it in a humble way where you give God the glory for it. Todo el tiempo tenemos que buscar la palabra, ¿verdad? Y proponer en nuestros corazones que la vamos a aplicar como parte de nuestra vida. Everything you hear from Scripture must become part of your life if you want it to be effective in your Christian walk. Okay, so in your Christian walk, learn it, but live it. Okay, verse 16. Look at the impacts that gifts have in your speech. El impacto que los dones tienen en tu hablar palabras. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. La dádiva del hombre le abre camino y lo lleva ante la presencia de los grandes. Okay, here it's talking about gifts that are given unto human beings. Especially if they're over you, right? He says, if you bring a gift, that can score points for you, is what he's saying. Lo que dice aquí, ¿verdad? Que cuando traes dones y los haces un regalo a alguien arriba de ti, como tu patrón o alguien encargado, entonces estás haciendo puntos para lograr favor, right? And so human gifts bring favor when people are over you and you're the employee or the one subjected to them, you start gaining favor. And one of the things that you start learning that a present can go far in human standards, ¿verdad? En un regalo puede subir mucho en estandartes humanos, ¿verdad? Pero acuérdense, un regalo es algo para alguien pobre, también una bendición grande. Es como los usamos, right? We can also bless someone who's poor with a gift, and it means a lot to them. So we cannot give expecting to receive back. No podemos dar para esperar que nos den para atrás. Cuando tú das, lo das, ¿verdad? Como dicen el dicho en español con nosotros, ponlo en hielo, ¿verdad? Que se revita, ya no saben que les ayudaste. So the more you give according to the way God says he's going to bless your gifts. Now, this also refers to something that I think is very important. When we are givers in the Lord, right? When we give, one of the beautiful things about giving, when we give, we also exemplify Christ in our giving. The love that we have for him, we're giving to others. Tenemos nosotros también el don de representar al Señor, ¿verdad? Cuando damos. Y cuando damos ese amor y los regalos que damos, no tiene que ser material, puede ser labor, puede ser tiempo, lo que sea. Y una de las cosas que la gente mira el amor de Cristo que tienes. So esos dones también son muy importantes, ¿verdad? Porque una de las cosas que cuando tú estás dando cosas, Dios te va a bendecir a ti cuando lo haces sinceramente. See, one of the things is you cannot give God. And whenever he sees that you're exemplifying his heart to others, he will also reward you back. Cuando tú das conforme a las escrituras, Dios te sigue bendiciendo. Y una de las cosas que aquí dice que te presenta ante los grandes, right? And one of the things he says here, you can take your gift in the secular way and it'll put you before important people, right? Those in charge. Well, with Christ, it doesn't matter because it's opposite. And what he's saying is when you give, become lowly and he will exalt you. And you're going to be before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It can't get higher than that when you give God's way. Cuando lo haces para Dios, vas a estar ante la presencia de los grandes. Pero vas a andar ante el Padre, el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo. You're going to be before the Lord, God, Father, and Holy Spirit. God, Son, and Holy Spirit. So remember that. Okay, so bribes, though, don't go far, do they? Para andar uno, ¿verdad? Poniendo aquí ejemplos donde da mordidas, como hace el mundo, donde quieren subir por eso, no se va muy lejos eso. Entonces, una de las cosas que cuando damos los dones de Dios también, tenemos que recordarnos que todo el tiempo los dones del Señor son superiores. The gifts of God are superior. Now, the gifts in the church, how do we use those? ¿Cómo usamos los dones en la iglesia? ¿Okay? Y en la iglesia, ¿verdad? Tenemos dones en 1 Corintios 12, ¿verdad? Que nos enseña. Tenemos dones, ¿verdad? Donde nos enseña cómo usar. Son más de 17. Okay, in the books of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have gifts that are shown to us and how to use them for ministry. We also have them in other books of the Bible. And one of the things that we learn from those 17 different gifts that are available to us, one of the things that we know that all gifts are to be used for the glory of God. Los dones que tú usas en la iglesia, todos son para glorificar al Señor. Okay, entonces, cuando tienes dones, no te puedes jactar. When you have gifts, you don't get proudful with them. And this is what I want to show you. When you serve God and you have gifts to give, and he does give you gifts. Remember, each one of us has at least one. Many of us have more. But one of the things is that when you use them, they're all made by the Spirit to be exalted. As far as God is exalted, I'm sorry. So all our gifts are to exalt the Lord when we use them, not to ourselves. So todos estos dones también que nos da, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que vas a mirar también en Romanos 12. Romans 12 is also a book that you can see, gifts that you can use for ministry. And so when you start learning how to use them, one of the things that you learn is that I'm always using it for God's glory. When you are in ministry, remember, those gifts are given to by God sovereignly. And when you have those gifts, remember, you may not even know you're operating in a gift that's scriptural. And so some of you may be teachers, some of you may be apostles, some of you may be doing other ways of sharing the gift where you're a helper or you're an administrator, different gifts. And most of the most important gifts are the ones that are behind the scenes. Tongues is one of those that are external, and you see the misuse that they have with tongues. Tú miras los dones, ¿verdad?, externales como lenguas y cómo los mal usan. You know, todos están hechos para glorificar a Dios, no al hombre. All our gifts are meant to exalt God, not ourselves, right? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. There's times in our life as a Christian that our spiritual gift is not being used. We lay it dormant. We're not using it, and we can't let it get dormant. We got to continue to operate in that gift. Hay tiempos en nuestro caminar cristiano que tenemos dones y no los estamos usando, se están haciendo ahí viejos, ¿verdad? Y el Señor no quiere que tu don se quede allí sin usar. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Segunda Timoteo 1, 6 y 7. Says, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh, right? The gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, Paul said to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. Por lo cual te recuerdo que avives el fuego del don de Dios, que hay en ti por la imposición de mis manos, le dijo Pablo a Timoteo. Porque no ha dado Dios espíritu de cobardía, sino de poder, de amor y de dominio propio. So cuando te dice ser valiente, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que te está diciendo, mira, Dios te ha dado un don. Pero muchas veces en la vida se queda dormido uno y no lo está usando, right? Y es muchas veces que te da otro don o uno más, pero no los dejes que se pierdan. Entre leas las escrituras en los capítulos que te di, ¿verdad? Ahí vas a ver qué don tienes si de veras meditas. See, one of the ways that God will show you as you go through scripture, he will show you the gift that you possess. And once you possess that gift and you see it, oh, it's right there, you go and use it and kindle it afresh all the time. That's what he told Timothy. Don't rest on your morals or your laurels, I'm sorry. And one of the things is don't put it on cruise control. No pongas tu vida y tus dones donde no los estás usando. ¿Saben qué pasa? Muchas veces el enemigo te quiere desanimar. Y una de las cosas que te dice, no salgas a servir, no hagas esto, no hagas lo otro, y te mete en depresión. No dejes que eso pase. Por eso le dijo a Timoteo, mira, no te canses de correr la iglesia. Eres un pastor joven y necesitas todo el tiempo, ¿verdad?, traer avivamiento a tu don otra vez. No lo dejes que se estanque ahí o que se quede sin usar. See, Timothy was a young pastor. What Paul was telling him, look, I know you're taking a beating many times for what you do for the Lord. And what Satan's plan is when he is beating you up is to shelf you, to not use you. And so one of the things he told Timothy, make sure your gift as a teacher, right, as a servant, you keep going, rekindling it, and do not let the enemy extinguish it. Because the enemy would love to extinguish your gift of God. Now remember, God is not an Indian giver when he gives you a gift. He gives it to you, and it's your responsibility to keep it going. Whether it's a teaching gift, whether it's something that he's given you. You know, once you get into the Lord and the Word, you'll understand what Satan is trying to do many times. Don't get shelved in ministry. No dejes que te pare el enemigo de servir a Dios, porque tienes un don de seguro. Y hay muchos que tienen más y ni lo saben. Pero el enemigo muchas veces te quiere robar, ¿verdad? Eso. So tenga cuidado, okay? Look at verse 17 of Proverbs 18. Miren Proverbios 18, 17. Always listen to both sides of a dispute. Todo el tiempo oigan los dos lados de un argumento, ¿verdad? The first to plead his case seems right, until another comes and examines him. Justo parece el primero que defiende su causa hasta que el otro viene y lo examine. Right? Una de las cosas que pasan aquí, ¿verdad?, que tienes que oír los dos lados de todo argumento. This is something that I always go through as a minister. is I have to hear cases day after day after day. I'm always listening to arguments, disputes, different things. And I'm always going to practice what this word says. First, I've got to listen to both sides. First, I got to pray and seek God to see what His will is. And then I'll make a decision on that. But a lot of people want results right away. And they want things fleshly. You have to be in the Spirit. And that's what the Bible says here. Remember, do not jump the gun, especially when something happens. Evaluate it. Pray about it. Give it to the Lord. And then the Lord will start taking over the disputes and settling those disputes. There's not a day where I don't have one, usually. And I always have to go to the Lord first before I even listen to any human wisdom. And now the issue is, okay, once God speaks, then you go out and carry it. And sometimes it may be that they were right from the beginning. Sometimes they're wrong. But the thing is, you process it slowly so that God will minister to your heart. Cuando hay un argumento, nunca cargues la carga solo. Llévaselo al Señor rápidamente. Él comienza y te va a enseñar los dos lados. Y cuando esté ese argumento, acuérdate que se va a confirmar. Now, another thing in those arguments, it'll be confirmed by one or two witnesses always. Okay, even three. Los argumentos y las discusiones que pasan todo el tiempo se van a confirmar por testigos. También agarra tus testigos. Always get your witnesses so that you apply this to wisdom on how to settle disputes. The speech is very important. Because many times you get frustrated as a leader when you go through these things. And this is one of the things that Solomon was saying. Don't get frustrated. Take it to God. He will speak and He will show you what to do. And then at the end, He causes all things to work together for good. Al último, cuando ya resuelve todo el Señor, ya están los testigos y todo, Dios te lo voltea para bien en tu vida. Let's go to Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. Deuteronomio 19, 15. A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. No se levantará un solo testigo contra un hombre para cualquier iniquidad o cualquier pecado que haya cometido. El caso será confirmado por el testimonio de dos o tres testigos. This is very good counsel from the Lord that will prevent a lot of heartache for you. Esto va a ser mucho consejo bueno que el Señor te va a prevenir tener dolores de corazón. Okay? Verse 18. Vamos al versículo 18. Settling disputes via lots or dice. ¿Verdad? Aquí es calmando discusiones con los dados, ¿verdad? Dice, the cast lot puts an end to strife and decides between the mighty ones. La suerte pone fin a las contiendas y decide entre los poderosos. Okay, one of the things is when the leaders, back in the day of villages or towns, little small towns, many times they'd have a dispute and they would use the dice to come up with the resolve. Okay, for example, one number would be yes, another number would be no. And so however the dice came out, that's how they would settle a dispute. And that was usually the elders that were in front of the city. Los ancianos que estaban al frente de la ciudad eran los que cargaban con las discusiones. Entonces ahí cuando usaban los dados, ¿verdad? Se ponían y cuando salía un número era sí, el otro era no. Y entonces así, ¿verdad? Componían sus discusiones. Now, can you imagine the faults in the system? Right? A number usually, right? Unless the Lord's on it, it's not going to work. Right? Because then you will get everything out of whack. And this is one of the things that he was saying. As they were doing this, right? One of the things that dice will fix things many times, but they also won't. And he says, and they decide wherever the people who have the decision-making power. Y aquí dice que la gente que tiene el poder para hacer esas decisiones, que eran los ancianos en frente de las puertas de la ciudad, these were the elders in front of the city that had the power to resolve these issues, okay? So, one of the things that the Bible teaches us, remember, nowadays we don't need dice. We've got the Word of God to guide us. Ahora en el día de hoy, no necesitamos dados para confirmar, ¿verdad?, estas discusiones. Me acordaba también cuando Aarón era el sumo sacerdote, cuando hacía sus decisiones. Right, I remember when Aaron had to make decisions as a high priest, that he'd have the Urim and the Thummim. Tenía el Urim y el Tumim para hacer las decisiones, ¿verdad? Uno era para sí, el otro era para no, y así metía él su palabra de discusión. Una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que cuando usaban el Urim, decía no. Whenever Aaron would use the Urim, it was a no, right? When he would use the Thummim, it would be yes or innocent. The other one would charge them guilty. And this is one of the things that I want you to understand. Now in the Lord, we can be able to resolve things by the way He told us. And that's how we fix these things, okay? So we have to ask the Lord for that guidance. And one of the things is that I will not go just by blind leaps. I'm going to go after I've prayed, after I've read my word, and then I come up with a decision, okay? And if I make a mistake, I will always go back to the word to fix it. Okay, we're not perfect. No somos perfectos, pero una de las cosas que Dios sí conforme todo, ¿verdad? Y compone todo. All right, so point number one. Speech can bring about contentious disputes. All right, number two. Point number two. Speech can also bring tremendous rewards. El punto número dos. Las palabras pueden traer enormes recompensas. Vamos a los versículos 20 al 21. Let's go to verses 20 and 21. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Con el fruto de su boca, el hombre sacia su vientre. Con el producto de sus labios, se saciará. Muerte y vida están en poder de la lengua, y los que la aman comerán que su fruto. ¿Verdad? Una de las cosas, versículo 20. Nos enseña que el fruto aquí es metafórico. Okay, the fruit here in verse 20 is metaphorical. One's words, right? Las palabras de uno. See, and this is one of the things we have to learn. Speaking is the most expressive human activity. Cuando hablamos, ¿verdad? Eso es como nos expresamos nosotros más como ser humanos. Y una de las cosas que el fruto de la tierra sostiene el cuerpo, ¿verdad? And so as fruit also sustains the body, from the ground, right? We eat it and it sustains us. La comemos y nos sostiene. El fruto de los labios es lo mismo. See, and fruit from the lips is the same thing. Words of life that we give out will sustain us. Words of death will bring us down. Las palabras de vida nos levantan. Las palabras de muerte, ¿verdad?, nos traen para abajo. If one's words are right, one is blessed. Si las palabras están buenas, somos bienaventurados. ¿Verdad? Y una de las cosas que dice, se llena el estómago, right? And one of the things it says, your stomach will be filled. But if our words are wicked, si tus palabras son malvadas, one will eat of that fruit as well. Uno va a comer de ese fruto también, pero va a traer consecuencias muy tristes. It's going to bring evil consequences. So, your words will eventually catch up, is what he's saying with you. Las palabras, ¿verdad?, te van a alcanzar un día que usas. And one of the things about wise words, they are a blessing. They're like a nice steak. You enjoy it. It fills your stomach, right? The same thing. When you're using good words, biblical words, it's life to your body as well. Cuando usas palabras de vida, es vida para tu cuerpo también. Es como una chuletita bien buena con una tortilla de maíz doradita. Muy rico, ¿verdad? Entonces, una de las cosas que cuando tienes palabras, ¿verdad?, que satisfechan tu vida, vas a bendecir a otros. Those words that you use that satisfy you will also bless others. You know why? Because God will be honored when you use that kind of speech. Dios te va a honrar por usar palabras de estas. Vamos al Salmo 19, versículo 14. Let's go to Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Sean gratas las palabras de mi boca y meditación de mi corazón delante de ti, oh Señor, roca mía y redentor. Palabras preciosas. Mediten en esas. Meditate on those words that bring honor to the Lord. Denle gloria al Señor con esas palabras de vida que nos da. Miren lo que dice. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, verse 21. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Muerte y vida dependen de la lengua. Según se utilice, así será el resultado. See, the meaning of life and death here, or in the power of the tongue, in a sense, it's what people will experience when they use words to bring up people or bring people down as well. And one of the things is the quality of your words is so important as a Christian. La calidad de tus palabras son tan importante como cristiano, porque palabras de vida que usas levantan a gente, las palabras de muerte los bajan. See, words are our most expressive human product. Las palabras son nuestro producto más expresionante, expresivo para el hombre, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas que vas a comer del fruto y tú escoges. Right? The way you select the words you're going to use is the meal you're going to have spiritually. Si tú escoges palabras de vida, vas a tener una comida espiritual muy buena. You can either use your tongue as an instrument of life, or you can use your tongue as an instrument of death. Your choice is yours. You can encourage and bless people, or you can bring people down and hurt them, right? But it's a powerful tool. La lengua es una herramienta muy poderosa. Y estos dos instrumentos son tan peligrosos, ¿verdad? Cuando tienes lengua y cómo usas tus palabras, eso te puede llevar al infierno o te puede llevar al cielo. See, words are so powerful, especially when you use them. And this is the only tool, right, that God has given us that either will lead us into heaven or will lead us into hell. Because with this, you get saved. Con tus palabras, te salvas. Let's go to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. How you use those words, either they're going to lead you to salvation and mercy in Christ, or you're going to go to hell, man, and with the devil. So how you use those words will depend on you getting saved. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so, que si confiesas con tu boca a Jesús por Señor y crees con tu corazón que Dios le resucitó de entre los muertos, ¿qué dice? Será salvo. What a powerful tool this is to either lead someone into heaven or reject the mercy of Christ. Isn't that amazing? When you think about the tongue and the power that it has. Okay, so the powerful effects of our speech. Speech can bring contentious disputes. Primer punto, en cómo los efectos poderosos de las palabras. Las palabras pueden generar disputas problemáticas. Point number two, speech can bring tremendous rewards as well. Salvation is one of them. Y luego también las palabras pueden traer enormes recompensas. La salvación es una de esas recompensas hermosas. Pero también el gozo que le trae a gente. Remember, there's also a blessing of bringing joy to others. And then the last point I want to leave you with. Speech can bring healing to relationships. Y el último punto que les quiero dejar, las palabras pueden traer sanidad a nuestras relaciones. Let's go to verses 22 to 24 of Proverbs 18, and we'll close with this. Vamos a las palabras, perdón, a los versículos 22 al 24, donde nos dice nuestras palabras pueden traer sanidad a nuestras relaciones. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor man utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. El que haya esposa, haya algo bueno y alcanza el favor del Señor. El pobre habla suplicando, pero el rico responde con dureza. El hombre de muchos amigos se arruina, pero hay amigo más unido que un hermano. Ahora, la primera cosa que nos enseña la palabra que se escoge, si encontramos una esposa es algo bonito, ¿verdad? No debe ser carga. If we find a good wife, it's a blessing, it shouldn't be a burden, right? And one of the things is when you find a wife that puts up with you, guys, it's a blessing. Cuando encuentras una esposa que te tolera, te da todo lo que tienes, es una bendición para un hombre. Y luego lo hacen los hombres, ¿verdad? En el servicio. Mira. ¿Verdad? And in services, guys hit each other on the elbow like, hey, come on. Thank God when you have a wife that loves you. as you are. Dale gracias al Señor que tienes una esposa que te ama como estás. Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que vas a aprender, que hay algo bonito también en ser alguien soltero. There's also something that's very precious when you're single, but one of the things is you have to be called to be single. That's the difference. Tienes que ser llamado para ser soltero, si no te vuelves loco como los sacerdotes que no los dejan que se casen y ahí andan después pervirtiendo, ¿verdad?, lo que hacen porque no están llamados a ser solteros algunos. See, the single calling is very important. Like, one of the things that you have to realize, if you're single and you're called, it's a beautiful thing that comes before the Lord, because He's going to give you the ability to abstain, to be able to walk with God, to be able to go through the battles. But remember, one of the things that the Bible has much to say about the blessings of being single as well. It's great to find a great wife. If you're not called to stay single, get a wife, but always seeking God so that He can give you the right person to marry. Don't choose with human standards. No vas a escoger con estandartes humanísticos. ¿Verdad? Que como lo hacen, ¿verdad?, ahí en Facebook, y lo escogen así nomás y quieren una relación rápida. No, una relación del Señor se toma tiempo. Tienes que conocer la persona con que te vas a casar. Tienes que conocer cómo camina espiritualmente. Tienes que conocer que esa persona ama a Dios así como tú lo amas. Porque si no, no te metas. Al rato van a andar batallando, ¿verdad? Y viceversa, el hombre y la mujer van a batallar si no escogen bíblicamente. See, when you choose a partner for life, you have to choose it biblically, choose them biblically. In other words, you have to know them. Okay, now in this standard of social media, right, that we have, everybody likes to hook up long distance and they don't get to know each other. They don't take time to court each other. Not date each other, not jump from one girl to another, but you pray to God, or a guy to another. You pray to God and say, is this the person that you put in my heart to marry? And then if it is, you pray, and then the Lord sends the relationship to work the right way. It's so dangerous to pick long distance relationships, because if the Lord is not in them, it will not work. But if He is, that person will also walk in a way where you've known them for a while, and you know how much passion they have for God. The reason right now a lot of marriages end is because they're just choosing in the flesh and not in the spirit the way God designed marriage to be. And who better to know how marriage works than the one who created it? ¿Qué más bonito, verdad, escoger a alguien cuando te casas? Porque Dios te escogió para ti, no que tú escogiste para ti en la carne y no en el espíritu. This is what a lot of the people don't like to wait. They say, no, I'm going to do it anyway. And you see the faults after a while. And the more you get to know them, you'll see how they really are. Now, if you can tolerate those things, and it's not compromising to the Word of God, and this is the person God has given you, you can work around those things. But you must get to know that person and how spiritually in depth they are. It's not superficial. There's a lot of guys that say, well, I love Jesus, I go to church, but they don't tell you it's only on Easter and Christmas. Right? And these are the people you have to beware of. Tienes que tener cuidado con las personas que se escogen. But being single, that's a great advantage too, to serve God. El ser soltero, qué gran ventaja. No tienes que reportar, ¿verdad?, con tu esposa o esposo. Puedes ir, si te manda un viaje misionero, te va rápido, porque no tienes todas las cajas, el bagaje, que es de mover una familia entera. So, hay ventajas también de ser soltero. No es nada malo si Dios te llamó. Now, if He called you to be single, it's not a bad thing. Because one of the things is when you're single, you can do more things for God and you're not held back. And so, it's an advantage to be single in the Lord as well. So, remember, all these things take place. But being single, look at what Paul said in chapter 7, verses 32 to 35. Vamos a ver lo que dijo Pablo en 1 Corintios 7, versículos 32 al 35. 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 35. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But the one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Mas quiero que estés libres de preocupación. El soltero se preocupa con las cosas del Señor como puede agradar al Señor. Pero el casado se preocupa por las cosas del mundo, de cómo agradar a su mujer. Y sus intereses están divididos. Y la mujer que no está casada y la doncella que se preocupan por las cosas del Señor para ser santas tanto en cuerpo como en espíritu. Pero la casada se preocupa por las cosas del mundo, de cómo agradar a su marido. Y esto para que vuestro propio beneficio, no para ponerlos restricción, sino para promover lo que es honesto y para asegurar vuestra constante devoción al Señor. So, pónganse a pensar, cuando eres soltero puedes servir al Señor muy fácilmente. Pero cuando tienes familia tienes que pensar de todos tus hijos, tus hijas, tu esposa y tu esposo si eres una mujer. Todo eso se tiene que componer. Remember, when you're called of God, when you're single, what a blessing it is if you use it the right way for the things of the Lord, right? But God also said it is not good for man to be alone, right? Genesis 2:18. So it's good being married as well. Why? Because you're also multiplying. You're also bringing more kids that believe in the Lord, right? More children that believe in the principles of God. So it's a good thing as well because you're replenishing the generations through that marriage to broaden the kingdom of God. So there's two things, right, that you have to understand. If you are single, right, use that to be wholeheartedly devoted to God. Si eres soltero o soltera, úsalo para servir al Señor con todo tu corazón, ¿verdad? Y Dios lo bendice. Si estás casado, mira a tu esposa, es algo bueno tener familia, pero que todos, ¿verdad?, les enseñes e instruirlos en los preceptos de Dios. And when you have a godly home, right, it's a blessing, so use it to bring up the next generation of servants of God. Okay? Verse 23, vamos al versículo 23. Look at what he says. The poor utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. Economic situations. El pobre habla suplicando, pero el rico responde con dureza, ¿verdad? Situaciones económicas. Y esta es una de las cosas que nos va a enseñar el Señor en la palabra. See, the poor must plead their cases many times because there's people that hold power over them. And one of the things, they have to always be reporting to someone above them. And so one of the things he says here, right, that the poor person utters pleadings. In other words, help me, right? And so this is the case with the poor. But one of the things he says here, but a rich person answers defiantly. Many times they're so full of pride because they are better off than other people. So we have to be careful with those responses. The speech as well, when he answers defiantly, is venomous. Cuando una persona habla así, ¿verdad? El rico cuando contesta con orgullo, lleno de sí mismo, habla, ¿verdad?, en rebelión contra Dios. Pero la persona pobre hace súplicas para ayuda, ¿verdad? Entonces, una de las cosas que nos enseña la palabra, que no le hace qué posición tengas o qué posición socialmente tengas. Tienes que usar palabras muy bonitas cuando tratas con los pobres. Cuando tratas con los ricos, también les tienes que ministrar igual que al pobre. See, when you minister to the poor, it's the same thing with the rich. You cannot have exceptions of people. No puedes tener excepciones de personas, tienes que hablarles igual, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que cuando miras eso en la iglesia también, cuando entran, los tratas igual al pobre que al rico, ¿verdad? O al que tenga buena posición, los tienes que tratar igual. When a poor person comes to church, you treat them the same way that a person with a lot of influence. You cannot be picking and choosing, right? And even in scripture in James, it tells you one of the things, offer them the best seat. And Santiago te dice, ofréceles el asiento más bonito. Y si está llena la iglesia, Deja ir tu asiento. And if the church is full, let your seat go and go stand in the back, just so that you understand. Especially, you know how we have our second service and it gets full. If we have new people come into the church, right, we're supposed to give up our seats if we're packed. Those of us that have been here a while will say, you know what, siéntate aquí, sit in my place. And this is how we treat the poor versus the rich, right? We know that we have to love them into the kingdom. And we've done that here. I'm not worried about that. But one of the things is, this is one of the things that you have to learn, how you treat the rich and the poor. Now, notice how it describes two kinds of speech. Piensen cómo describe dos clases de palabras, ¿verdad? Uno, ¿verdad?, que dice que no tiene poder en sus palabras, el pobre, y el uno que tiene el lenguaje o las palabras poderosas, el rico, ¿verdad? The poor ask and seek to persuade, for they are in need. ¿Verdad? El pobre pregunta y quiere pedirte en súplica porque está en necesidad. Pero el orgulloso, ¿verdad?, dice, yo no necesito nada. But the rich one says, I don't need anything. I've got everything I need. But they don't understand, right? One of the things that I want you to understand, treat the lowly the way Christ treats you as his child. Traten al más pobre igual que como Cristo nos trata a nosotros. And then value your friendships. Look at verse 24. Miren el versículo 24. Valoricen sus amistades, ¿verdad? A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. El hombre de muchos amigos se arruina, pero hay amigo más unido que un hermano. Okay, now notice this. When you have too many friends, it's because you're not telling them the truth. Because whenever you deal with someone, remember, we must always express the truth in love. When you do, you're going to hurt some people. And not everybody's going to like you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, beware when everybody speaks well of you. Because you have to be ministering in this world. When we have friendships, it's not that you want to become popular. Look at how many people love me. It's how many people you love and care for. And you're sincere. Yo no estoy aquí, ¿verdad?, para poder ganar muchos amigos. Yo estoy aquí para poder instruir a gente a Cristo. Y muchas veces piso callos. Pero una de las cosas que cuando amas a alguien, ahí estás por ellos. Ellos saben. Pero lo que pasa, hay gente que quiere ser muy popular. Quiero que todos me amen, no le hace el costo. Y eso te va a llevar a comprometer la palabra. There's people who love to be loved, right? And they want this big following around them. That's pride. Because one of the things is how much you love people, not how many people, right, you can con to love you. It's about being sincere with people. Es de ser sincero con la gente. Okay? And one of the things, remember that the power of the tongue has to be refrained. And so when you're just a salesman, wherever God puts you, and you're just recruiting to have a fan club, that's demonic in the eyes of God. Because you're supposed to gather people and love people according to Scripture. Mucho cuidado con tener ese deseo de ser amado por todos. Porque te lleva a la ruina, dice aquí. Una de las cosas que tú eres siervo o sierva de Dios, tú sigue amando a esa gente con todo tu corazón. Pero no porque quieras tener un club muy grande. Es porque tú quieres engrandecer el reino de Dios. See, and it's about enlarging the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, we are to have friends. And it says here, a brother indeed is born of adversity. And one of the things that you'll discover as we go through adversity, we go through it together. Cuando estamos pasando por adversidad, ¿verdad?, una de las cosas que va a ocurrir, ahí vamos a estar los unos por los otros, porque valorizamos ese compañerismo. Pero al mismo tiempo también, no te voy a dar todo lo que pidas para que tú aprendas a caminar con el Señor también en fe. Now, many times I will not give you what you need because you need to learn to depend on Christ completely. And so one of the things is that is what's going to be your provision. The more you fall in love with the Lord, the more he'll open up the floodgates for you. You cannot depend on people always. You have to learn how to walk through faith in Christ, and God will show you that. El Señor te va a enseñar cómo caminar con él primordialmente, y te va a enseñar cómo acercarte más a ti. So, por eso no te voy a dar todo lo que me pidas todo el tiempo, porque también quiero que aprendas cómo depender de tu Señor. Y el Señor te va a bendecir grandemente. Ahora, pero allí voy a estar si algo se pone duro, ¿verdad? En el Señor, porque eso nos amamos sincero. We love each other. Okay, Ephesians 4:15. Efesios 4:15. We have to always speak the truth in love. Tenemos que hablar siempre la verdad en amor. But speaking the truth in love, Paul said, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Sino que hablando la verdad en amor, crezcamos en todos los aspectos en aquel que es la cabeza, es decir, Cristo. Entonces, te enamoras de la cabeza, Dios te va a suplir todas tus necesidades. Entre más te agarras de Él, más te va a bendecir. The more you grab hold of the Lord, the more He will provide everything you need. See, my job is not to get people to like me. My job is to guide them to the feet of Christ so they fall in love with Him. Mi trabajo no es de que me amen a mí, es que amen a Cristo. Y cuando se enamoran de Cristo, Él nunca los va a dejar ni desamparar. And He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. See, we all have friends, and that's a good thing. But also, we're supposed to instruct them with honesty and be truthful with them always, in love. Tenemos todos amigos, pero tenemos que también ser reales. Instruirlos bien para que se enamoren de Cristo. So, no le hace cuántos amigos tienes. Si tienes uno, es tu esposa, ojalá, ¿verdad? Pero ya estás contento. If you have one friend, you have your wife, your husband, those are good friends. But at the same time, it's good to have other brothers and sisters around us, but always being honest, that we really do care for them. Siendo honestos que los amamos, ¿verdad? And so regardless of how many friends you have, there's one that will never leave you. And that says that here in the scripture, right? Aquí nos dice que hay un amigo más grande. Dice, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus. Hay un amigo, ¿verdad? Dice aquí, que más unido que un hermano. Cristo es el que te tienes que enamorar profundamente. Porque cuando te enamoras profundamente, nunca te va a dejar. See, and Christ will never leave you or forsake you. So, no le hace cuántos amigos tengas. Si tienes a Cristo, tienes todo. If you have Christ, you have everything. Amen? All right, let's stand up. Vamos a ponernos de pie. So, remember our 3 points. Acuérdense en las 3 puntos de ahora. Speech can bring about contentious disputes. Las palabras pueden generar disputas problemáticas. Pero el Señor nos da cómo resolverlos en la palabra. Christ will always give us the word to resolve these issues that come up. Point number 2, speech can bring tremendous rewards. Punto número 2, las palabras pueden traer enormes recompensas. Just remember, use the words that honor the Lord. Usa las palabras que glorifican y honran al Señor. Then point number 3, speech can bring healing to relationships. Nuestras palabras pueden traer sanidad a nuestras relaciones. How many people have not forgiven people that have hurt them? And it's because of the words that came out of their mouth. Even if you've been hurt, you have to give that hurt to the Lord because you're supposed to love your brother, even when they mess up. But you can't do it in your flesh. You have to surrender to the will of God, know what He says in His Word to forgive and move on, and you do it. Cuando nos lastiman, especialmente gente cercana en el cuerpo, nos duele. Pero tenemos que perdonar y seguir adelante. No les puedo contar cuánta gente no perdona y se queda estancada. Y una de las cosas se hacen amargos y les duele más. Dele su carga al Señor y descanse en el Señor. And then remember to give that burden of unforgiveness to the Lord and He will help you. Not easy, but it's possible through Christ. No es fácil, pero todo lo podemos hacer en Cristo que nos fortalece. Let's pray. Vamos a orar. Padre, te damos gracias por tus palabras. Y te pido, Señor, si hay alguien aquí que está escuchando la palabra, que les ayudes con cualquier carga que tengan, que te la den, para que tú les puedas traer paz a sus vidas y restauración. Father, if there's anyone here going through battles that the Word has spoken to them about, they will just surrender completely and that you will start healing and peace coming into their life again. We are so blessed to have you in our lives, Lord. And there's no way we can repay you for saving us. And so we come thanking you that you are a friend closer than a brother, that will never leave us. Te damos gracias, Señor Jesús, que tú eres nuestro amigo, Señor, más cercano que un hermano, y que nunca nos va a dejar. Te pido bendición sobre tu pueblo. Father, I pray blessing upon your people, and that they will continue, Father, searching after you through the word, and that they gain wisdom, Lord, grow in wisdom, so that they will apply it to their lives and become even stronger spiritually. Señor, que sigan aumentando la sabiduría para que sigan creciendo espiritualmente. Y que, Padre, nos unas más y más cercanos a ti, entre más estudiamos tu palabra preciosa y santa, Señor. Father, help us to draw closer and closer to you as we study your precious word and we get deeper in love with you so that we can overcome anything that the enemy uses to discourage us. Señor, ayúdanos. Yo te pido, si alguien tenía cargas, que también salgan de aquí sin las cargas, que te las presenten todos en los pies de la cruz para que duerman hermosamente en esta noche. And if anybody was carrying, Father, with burdens, that today they will leave them upon the throne of grace. And that, Father, they will leave everything at the foot of the cross so they can rest. So, Father, we come together thanking you for your beautiful word. Bless our families. Bless our homes. Thank you for the blessings you continue to give us. Bendícenos tus hogares. Bendícenos tus familias, Señor, para que sigan creciendo en ti y sigan caminando en las generaciones adelante que vienen. Father, that our children may walk in continuous walk of fear and honor with you, so that, Father, the future generations will be blessed as well. We thank you so much. We love you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. Te amamos, te damos gracias y alabanzas, Señor. En el nombre precioso de Cristo Jesús. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.